Scripture passages this morning is found in Psalm 137, verses 1 through 6, Pew Bible, page 544, large print Bible, 709, and projected. Interesting passage, because those of you who remember the musical Godspell, this was actually one of the lovely choruses in that production. Listen for the word of God as these passages are read. By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down, and there we wept when we remembered Zion. On the willows there we hung up our harps, for there our captors asked us for songs, and our tormentors asked for mirth, saying, "Sing us one of those songs of Zion." How could we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? If I forget you, O Jerusalem, let my right hand wither. Let my tongue cling to the roof of my mouth if I do not remember you, if I do not set Jerusalem above my highest joy. Second lesson from the New Testament is found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 12 to 22, page 193 in the Pew Bible and page 250 in the large print Bible. But we appeal to you, brothers and sisters, to respect those who labor among you and have charge of you in the Lord and admonish you. Esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Be at peace among yourselves. And we urge you, beloved, to admonish the idlers, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with all of them. See that none of you repays evil for evil, but always ask to do good to one another and to all. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise the words of prophets, but test everything. Hold fast to what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you. Good morning. I didn't know songs could be so powerful as that one. A message that we need to hear, take it to the Lord in prayer. I've been overwhelmed this week by all of the support that the congregation has shown to Lisa and me and our little baby. The powerful prayers that have been lifted on our behalf, and as we heard in our sharing time this morning, all kinds of need for prayer. I have it on good stead that if I were to crumple down here in the pulpit today, 7 or 8 of you are ready to step in and preach the rest of this sermon. Thank you for all the offers from Pastor Chris to retired clergy in our midst and others, even Gina Bay is ready. So without further ado, Gina Bay, ready to go. It's been quite a week, hasn't it? It's hard to believe that we're only 1 week removed from the joy and celebration of Easter. Do you remember that Easter proclamation that we heard last week? It went, Christ is risen. Amen. That Christ is risen is our basic Christian hope, one that we bring with us even into a week and a day like today, even as we hear from the psalmist who writes, by the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down, and there we wept when we remembered Zion. On the willows there we hung up our harps, for there our captors asked us for songs, and our tormentors asked us for mirth, saying, sing us one of those songs from Zion. But how could we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? How can we sing the Lord's song on the strange land that is the Sunday after Easter? How can we sing the Lord's song in the strange land of 2 Sundays after the death of Penny Stafford? How can we sing the Lord's song in the strange land of prayer vigils and hospital visits and all the stuff that you and I have going on in our lives? How can we sing the Lord's song in the midst of all of this? Well, that is the question of the day. That is a question that believers and people of Christian faith have asked since that very first Sunday after Easter, all the way through until today. It's our question, and as we turn to the Lord for a word for our lives today, let's pray. Open our ears, O Lord. Give us a word from on high, from a place we do not know. Comfort us in our hearts. O God, we pray that you would speak directly to each one of us and to our whole congregation as a whole this day. The power of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. A few weeks ago, Lisa and I were down in Savannah for a little vacation time before all the craziness here was going to begin, and we were flying back to Providence on a Saturday with plenty of time to spare. And as we got to our gate, we heard one of those announcements over the loudspeaker, you know the kind, where they're asking people to step off the plane in exchange for some kind of travel coupon. Well, we didn't think much of it, but they kept coming on again and again saying, will someone with a flexible schedule please come off the plane so that some other people can get where they need to go? And so I went up and talked to them about it. And I found out that the next flight was an hour and a half later, and that if we got off, they would give us $200 each just to sit there and wait. And I know sometimes people will get off flights because it's really a nice thing to do to help someone who can't get there, but I did it for the money. $200, hey, that's a flight. That's a great deal. So we took it. We filled out some paperwork and giving all of our information, saying that we would get a seat on the next flight, $200 travel coupon, signed it, and turned it in. And then about 5 minutes later, that lady came on the loudspeaker again, asking for somebody to please get off the flight again. And this time she offered $400. And nobody stood up. So she said $500. And nobody stood up. So she said $600. And then I stood up. And I went to the counter and said, excuse me, ma'am, but I don't want the 200. I want the 600. And this very nice but very busy airline employee looked up from her computer and said, well, don't worry, as she tapped away, we need to get these seats filled out, and once we do, we'll match for you whatever we give to someone else. We'll match for you whatever we give to someone else, so just take a seat and don't worry about it. Do you remember the story of that rich young ruler that Jesus talked to some time ago? And he told him to sell everything he owns and give it to the poor and then come follow me. Pastor Chris preached on it a few weeks ago. And at the end of the story, that rich young ruler, he goes away sad because he was very rich. And after I talked to that lady, I went away glad. I was about to be very rich. They would match it for me. So the reason they needed those seats was there was a group traveling together to Dublin, Ireland that day. They're an Irish choir, and they had come in for St. Patrick's Day every year. They march, they sing, they were a big account, and the airline was desperate to keep them traveling together and to keep them happy. So the price to clear seats on that flight, it kept going up. $700, $800, $900, $1,000. Lisa and I were sitting there planning our trip to Europe, you know, or Asia, or anywhere we wanted to go. Finally, they got two more travelers to get off the flight and give up their seats for $1,200 each. Wow, right, Wolf? Wow. Can you believe it? So they were processing the paperwork for this other couple, and I stood up to collect our payday as well. It felt like Christmas had come early. It even felt a little bit like Easter felt just last week. You know, it was a real high moment. Last week was a high moment, wasn't it? To see the sanctuary filled to overflowing, to hear the trumpet sound and the songs, to see the Easter lilies out in force, to see everyone dressed in their Easter best, ready to impress. Let me see a show of hands. How many of you were here in worship last Sunday? All right. I'll bet those who weren't here were somewhere. Easter's a time when we show up in mass. It was a great time. It was a high moment. But now it's over. We're in the Sunday after Easter. So back to Savannah, I walked up to the airline counter, giddy at my good fortune, ready to collect my voucher for $1,200. And then the woman said, I'm sorry, sir. Something you never want to hear. I'm sorry, sir, but when you signed the paperwork, the price was $200. That's what's on our records. That's what you're going to get. I said, $200, it must be some mistake. You see, I want what everyone else is getting out there. $1,200, not $200. But that's how it ended up. And that's what we got. Even though I started the day with nothing and ended the day with a free flight somewhere, I was inconsolable. You can imagine. I was riding so high when the price was going up like some kind of stock market day trader, I don't know, that when it started coming down and I had to come back to reality, it was hard to do. It's hard to do, isn't it? To come back to the real realities of our lives and to consider our situation here this Sunday, 1 week after Easter. But that's where we are. Easter, that triumphant day, is over. The extra folding chairs are put away. The beautiful flowers are gone. The flock of visitors have flown the coop, and now it's just us chickens once again. And we're back to the things of our week-in and week-out lives of faith. And both of our scripture passages today come from a context like this, full of trouble and even lament. The Hebrew people of the Old Testament, God's own people, have been conquered by an invading army, and they have been deported far from their beautiful, holy city of Jerusalem over to Babylon. And so it was by the rivers of Babylon, dejected, defeated, deported, that they sat down. And it says, there we wept. There we wept. They mourned together and remembered the good things that they had had that were now gone. And then in the New Testament, we read from Paul's letter to the church in Thessalonica, which is in modern-day Greece. Scholars tell us that 1 Thessalonians is the oldest part of the New Testament, older even than the Gospels themselves. It was written before them. So this is a sneak peek into the life of the early church, the early Christian community. And what we find going on there is that Paul needs to respond to some problems. Life isn't perfect. He tells them to stop quarreling and to start being at peace with one another. He says to admonish the idlers, because apparently some of them were lazy. He says to encourage the faint-hearted, because some of them had doubts or fears. He says to help the weak, because so many of them had so many needs. And then we get to the core of the passage, the part that I want us to focus on today, where Paul writes, in the face of all these things going on in their communities and in their lives, he says, rejoice always and pray without ceasing and give thanks in all circumstances. What a hard text this is in the context of our real lives. Rejoice always on Easter, yes. Pray without ceasing on Easter, sure. Give thanks in all circumstances on Easter, why not? But what about Sunday after Easter? How can we sing the Lord's song in this strange land? Well, I want to tell you something about that today. You know, it doesn't say give thanks for all circumstances. It says give thanks in all circumstances, right? God does not ask us to be thankful for cancer or for addiction or for trouble in our families or for pregnancies that don't go the right way. No. But God does want us to be thankful in all that we face, in every circumstance, because God is in it with us. Even in times like these, we have reasons to give thanks, because if nothing else, we know our God is with us in it. Amen? I want to give you an image of this that you can take away with you. It'll be portable. Put it in your pocket. Take it away with you. Here it is. It comes from a Roman Catholic priest. His name is Dennis Ham, and he calls this rummaging for God. That's our sermon title today, rummaging for God. The idea is it's like a drawer, like the sock drawer at your house. And you open it up and start rummaging around in there for a pair of socks that you know is in that drawer. You don't see them at first, you don't feel them, but you know the socks are in the drawer. So you keep searching around, you keep rummaging. Rummaging for God is the faith that says, God is in here somewhere. Even in this circumstance that I'm facing, even in this drawer full of the stuff of my life, God is in here somewhere. God is in here somewhere. I hold on to that. I have to. We all do. Because we've all got drawers that are full of all kinds of other stuff. What's the stuff that's in your drawer, I wonder today? I know it's not just socks. It never is. What's in your drawer? What are the circumstances that you're facing or that you've got coming up or that are still lingering a little bit from the past? That's your stuff. We've all got stuff in our drawers. Well, this was St. Paul's conviction, that somewhere in these drawers full of all our stuff, even when we don't see it, even when we don't feel it, that God is in it, that God is in here somewhere. So listen again to Paul's words from Scripture as a echo again with this refrain. Rejoice always, because God is in here somewhere. Pray without ceasing, because God is in here somewhere. Give thanks in all circumstances, because? Amen. God is in here somewhere. You know, that's not always easy to see how God might be in the midst of some of the things we are facing, some of the circumstances of our lives. But I want to encourage you today to keep on rummaging. This is the message of the morning. For all of us who have drawers full of stuff, and that's everybody, let's keep on rummaging. Keep on rummaging, holding fast to this truth, that God is in here somewhere. Amen. This is the joyful feast of the people of God. They shall come from north and south, from east and west, and sit down together at table in the kingdom. The risen Lord Jesus, when he was with his friends, the disciples, took bread, and after breaking it, he broke it. After blessing it, he broke it, and he gave it to them, and their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. This is the Lord's table. It is not a Presbyterian table. It is open to not just members of this congregation, but to all who put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, who seek to follow him in their lives. This table is set for you. Today we will be taking communion by the ancient practice of intinction, which means you'll come forward, take some bread, dip in the cup, and eat it as you go. We'll be singing together, One Bread, One Body, during the communion time as well.
Please join with me in the great thanksgiving. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Let us pray. Gracious God, pour out your Holy Spirit upon us and upon these your gifts of bread and the cup, that the bread we may break and the cup we bless may be the communion of the body and blood of Christ. By your Spirit, unite us with the living Christ and with all who are baptized in his name, that we may be one in ministry in every place.